This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, hit it.
Chris Ronji, Amy Marks Kors, The Chris and Amy Show.
You know who it is.
Also, if you didn't know, this is called the show.
Yeah. On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Good morning, friends. It's Wednesday. It's May 7th. Hope you're doing great. It is Chris and Amy, and we're with you until 11:15 today, because at 11:20 is the Cardinals pregame show, and they got baseball. They're going to take on the Pittsburgh Pirates at Busch Stadium today. So it is some day baseball happening here in St. Louis. And guess what? We're only here with you for a couple of hours, but it's enough time for you to call us and text. You never call. You never write. 314-436-7900. On the Odyssey app, where you listen to the show and Cardinals baseball and the podcast and all of that, you can send us a voice message. There's a little button that says send a message. Click it, record your message, and send it. Also, streaming live on all the cool platforms like YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, we are at Chris Amy KMOX.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everyone will be talking about.
Long lines are happening right now at airports and DMVs around the country, and probably in Newark. But it's not because of the Newark traffic control people. Yeah. It's because today is Real ID Enforcement Day. This is the first day everybody has to have one, or you will die.
No, that's not. You're not going to die.
You're not going to die?
Don't, you can't speculate like that on KMOX. You'll be okay.
Oh, you knew you would.
But
okay.
It's happy Real ID.
Yes,
here's something. I hope you have the Real ID. I hope you don't have the measles.
It does say here you will not die. So.
Okay. And St. Louis City, specifically Aldermanic President Megan Green, refiles another lawsuit over the state control of the St. Louis City Police. Mayor Kara Spencer criticized the move for not being a united front.
And the Cardinals did it again. They beat Paul Skeens, the young baseball pitching phenom. They did it. They did it again at Busch Stadium. And now they will finish up that series against the Pirates, as we mentioned, today at 12:15. That is the first pitch. You know, I looked up at the TV, and there was the graphic that said the Cardinals begin procession into the Sistine Chapel. And I said, well, they have a day game today. How can they possibly?
You know, I got to be honest. I heard the same thing. They said 130 Cardinals. I was like, first of all,
that's a
lot.
That's not the roster.
That's a lot. Like that
that's
would
bigger
be
than the 40 man.
That would be way bigger than the 40 man. And so I came up with a game on the way to work today, and I think it's really reserved for the St. Louis area.
It's got potential.
It's got real potential. So basically, it's a game for you, the listener. We will read a quote or a headline, and you have to tell us if it's from the Conclave or the Gas House Gang.
Gas House Gang every day from 12 until 1, whenever Cardinals baseball doesn't
happen. I think that's a great
game. I love the idea.
Like you could say, like, there's some infighting among the Cardinals.
That's Conclave.
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I made that up. But what I'm saying is you had to think about it.
They really have Paul Skeens' number.
That's the Gas House Gang.
Yeah. Cardinals have, but These Cardinals might also have his phone number if they really wanted it. They could. If you're one of these Cardinals, you can get anything you want. You can get in touch with Paul Skeens very easily, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think they do have a lot of connections. But I think Conclave or Gas House Gang is a great game. I think it's fun.
I'm into it.
There's a Cardinal Dolan and there's a Cardinal Nolan.
Oh, no.
There is.
You're right. And now I'm going to, that's going to confuse me. I'm going to be thinking about that a lot.
Yeah. That's like, you have to think twice before you say something. I feel that way with tentacles and testicles.
Oh. Are you serious?
Yes. That's a hard one.
Like, you really have to think that through before you say it?
Yes. An octopus has 8 tentacles.
Oh, my God.
Well, and also, the same thing, I've always struggled with a penal colony.
What?
Like, you have to be careful. I'm sorry, but these are real things.
There are penal codes.
Penal codes, right.
And penal colonies.
And you have to say it that way. You don't want to say it the other way, which would be a totally different type of code and colony.
You know,
I think about these things because you think, well, why are you talking about penal codes? Listen, I listen to Supreme Court podcasts. I like reading history books. A lot of times they'll say, like, think about before World War I and the web of entanglements and all the tentacles. You wouldn't believe how many times.
And lots of testicles.
Well, it was a male-dominated world at that time. But I would say you have to say tentacles and penal a lot. Anyway, say it correctly. What were we talking about?
Dude, I don't know. I don't know, but you took it down a path.
My game. Anyway, if you think we should play the game, Conclave or Gas House Gang, 314-436-7900. Yeah. You can text us. You can also leave us a voice message on the Odyssey app.
But how about these Cardinals? How about these Redbirds?
Yeah.
For whatever reason, they, and again, it's not like they just lit up Paul Skeens yesterday. He still had a quality start. It was, you know, 6 innings, 2 runs. That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. And if your starters give you 6 innings and 2 runs every time out, you as a team are going to win a ton of games. So it's not like they, you know, they didn't blow the guy up or anything. But for whatever reason, they have just had incredible luck winning on days where he has started. And for people who aren't really following baseball, this is a legit phenom.
Yes.
This is a guy who came in midseason last year and he's the kind of pitcher that when he is coming to town and when it is his turn to start, if you're that home team's fan base, mm-hmm. you might be more incentivized to go buy tickets because it's, oh, Paul Skeens is pitching tonight.
Yeah.
I'm going to go see him pitch. He's one of those. He's like a Greg Maddux type or a Clayton Kershaw type. That's or a Max Scherzer, where if you're a home team fan base and he's coming to visit, you might think, I'm going to get to the ballpark tonight in particular because I get to see him, and the Cardinals beat him every time they play
him. It's crazy. Well, wasn't his career record that he had 4 losses and 3 were against the Cardinals? Something like that.
Yeah, it was like 5, I want to say.
99% of his losses are against the Cardinals. I do, speaking of sports, have some breaking news.
This is breaking news.
Hold on.
From St. Louis's News Radio.
I just want to say something real quick.
Yeah.
Let's not make a mockery of the breaking news. Is this real breaking news?
Yeah, this is real.
Oh.
6 minutes ago, NHL.com, the Utah Mammoth. That is their official...
Oh, that is breaking news.
Yes, no, that's what I mean. It's real breaking news. I don't want you to make a mockery of me.
We made a mockery of it last week, and I felt pretty bad about making a mockery of KMOX breaking news.
The Utah Mammoth has been unveiled as the permanent brand identity. After 4 rounds of surveys, the Utah Hockey Club, which was Utah's National Hockey League team, is now the Utah Mammoth, and they revealed the logo. It looks like a icy woolly mammoth, which is cool, except I kind of liked the Utah Hockey Club. It felt classy.
That's how I felt about the Washington football team.
Yeah.
I wish they would have kept that.
I know. I do, too. I will say they're still going to have, I believe, the white jerseys will still say Utah, but the woolly mammoth that is on the front of their jersey, and their colors are like icy blue, black, and white. Or maybe that's a navy. I'm a little bad with colors. But it's a sleek look. It does look Good. So the Arizona Coyotes are officially, I mean, they were already officially dead.
Yeah.
But I mean, now you have a new name. It's the Utah Mammoth.
It was last week. I sent you guys I think it was a tweet that, I don't know if it was the official team account or something. They accidentally posted the team name. And it was like, did Utah just leak their own name? And apparently they did, because that's exactly what the name was. The Utah Mammoth.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the Mammoths. It is the Utah Mammoth.
Yeah, like moose.
Yeah, like moose.
You don't say mooses.
Look at all the moose out there.
Yes.
So, I don't know. I guess it's kind of cool, but I really liked Utah Hockey Club.
I did too. It's classy.
Let me ask this question.
It's a little pretentious, and I always appreciate pretentious things.
I'm going to throw this question out to the listener, since we have this new breaking news about the Utah Hockey Club.
Yeah.
If we were to change the team name for any of our professional teams, which one would you change, and what would you call it? So, the Cardinals, the Blues, City SC, or the Battlehawks? I'm curious what people have in mind. So if you have...
I think this is a dumb question.
This is a great question. I would like to know what people would come up with.
I think if you even suggest changing the Cardinals' names, you might get killed on the spot.
I'm sure I will be perfectly fine. 314-436-7900. Go ahead and text in and let us know. Or you can drop us a voice message from the Odyssey app. I'm curious. I know we get attached to our team names and our team colors and all of that stuff and the uniforms. But I am here for change. I'm here for doing something a little different every now and then.
And I, like any good conservative would be, am standing athwart history yelling, stop.
Yeah, that's what you all do.
Yeah.
Let's do something better. No, this is perfectly fine.
It's working the way it is. I like things the way
they are. But we can make it work better.
I mean,
what if we come up with something
better? You're probably least emotionally attached to the Battlehawks because they're so new. But the fact that they survived COVID is kind of... You hate to take it from them now.
Well, the team's still there. Team's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
You can root for them. You can buy the new gear.
Yep.
Whatever you want to do.
While we're talking about hockey and as we go into break here on Real ID Day, I do want to give everyone an update because my mom asked me. I told you I was watching hockey with my mom, and there's two kinds of hockey. There's Blues hockey, and then there's other hockey is what she calls it. Like, she walked in, what are you watching? I'm like, hockey. And she goes, is this the Blues? I said, no. She goes, Is this other hockey? Like, yes, it's other hockey. So my mom texted me, knowing how distraught I was yesterday. So sweet. She texted me. She goes, are you watching other hockey tonight? And I said, you know what? I turned on an Eastern Conference game, the Eastern Conference playoff game, because I couldn't handle Western Conference. I said I was too distraught to watch other hockey the night before.
I feel it.
But I'm trying to ease my way into other hockey. And I started with the Carolina Hurricanes and Washington Capitals, two teams I don't care about. At all. I don't like them. I don't like Carolina. I've never liked the Hurricanes.
I wonder if most people have a feeling about the Carolina Hurricanes.
I know they're dumb. Why are they even there? Anyway.
A text message, and I they've been listening at least. Thank you. We appreciate it. But they didn't specify which team.
Uh-oh.
They say it should be called the St. Louis Testicles.
Well, which team would it make more
sense
for? I don't
know. Here's one that says the Blues should be called fully the Blue Note, not just the Blues.
Oh, the St. Louis Blue Note?
Yeah.
Notes?
But Note, N-O-T-E.
Okay.
I did like the idea as we go to break here. I loved the idea of us having a hockey team named the Blues and an NBA team named the Rhythm, and they play in the same building. You have the Rhythm and Blues. I loved that idea.
To be honest, was that your idea?
No.
Oh, because that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if that's your idea, you shouldn't be sitting here.
Damn right. I should own an NBA team. It's Chris and Amy on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And together, we host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crime-ity.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Text messages to the show, 314-436-7900. We had the texter who said it should be the Blue Note mm-hmm. instead of the Blues. Mm-hmm. It should be the St. Louis Blue Note. And they followed up with Blues is too ambiguous. But I feel like it's actually perfect.
Okay.
I feel like St. Louis Blues in reality is perfect because right now that's what we have. We have the Blues, and they have given us the Blues after what they
blues
did
would be
on Sunday.
Blues would be ambiguous if you didn't have the logo. But the logo, a picture is worth a thousand words.
Yeah, it pretty much denotes blues music, right? I think so. Wow.
Paul says on our YouTube from yesterday, okay, talking about the Winnipeg Jets, how can you hate the Jets? A great little low-budget Canadian hockey-loving team. If I hated the Canucks, Sharks, and Wings in the past, but the Blues gave them the win after all. I can hate anybody I want, first of all.
Sure.
It's America.
Yeah.
Winnipeg's not America.
You can hate the smallest of towns if you feel like it.
Honestly, I feel like I have more of a right to hate Winnipeg because they are our Canadian sister. They're the River City. Mm-hmm. They're the gateway to the West. And they're a blue-collar team, blue-collar city, like we are. So if anyone has a right, I think no one has more right to dislike Winnipeg than St. Louisans. That's it.
We have nobody to be mad at
but
except
ourselves. But we can still project.
Sunday is entirely our fault.
And you know what? Scott Arneil, whiny. You know when I used to like Winnipeg? When it was mm-hmm. Paul Maurice. But Scott Arneil, Paul Maurice was the coach. He's the coach of the Florida Panthers now. Another reason to like Florida because of Matthew Tkachuk and Paul Maurice and Jamie Campagne, assistant coach. But don't like Winnipeg. I think Hellebuyck. Here's when I fell out of love with Hellebuyck when he said, I've studied hockey more than any. I've read more books on hockey than anybody ever has in the whole world.
That's not what he said.
That's exactly what he said.
He was telling people, he was probably getting so much crap for the series from his own people. He's like, guys, I'm looking into it.
You know what kind of goalie I like? Do I look nervous? That's a goalie.
Well,
that's a goalie.
And guess which one won?
But guess which one played better? Bennington.
Who gave up fewer goals?
Not
the end result is the end result.
Listen, I'm not having I didn't come here to talk to you all day.
And I've said this. I've said this already. Yeah. He deserved better.
He did. You did say that,
but
and
Connor,
I agree.
Connor Hellebuyck, he locked it down when he had to. After we blew it.
Yeah, we blew it.
Yes. That's
so
why the Blues is perfect.
He didn't have to lock it down. We gave it to him. If he didn't win that game after we handed it to him on a silver platter, yeah.
See?
He should go back to reading books.
The Cardinals, this is a text message. Okay. The Cardinals should be called the St. Louis Bluebirds because it's our state bird.
Mm.
Isn't that strange how the it's the Bluebirds mm-hmm. in Missouri. The Bluebird is the state bird, and in Illinois, it's the Cardinal?
I thought it was, is it the Cardinal?
The state bird is the Cardinal in Illinois.
That's why Illinois State's the Redbirds? Is that what you're called?
They are the Redbirds.
Yeah.
It was the Illinois State Cardinals. And they changed the name like 100 years ago so as to not create confusion when people were talking about the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Because it's only a couple hours
north.
Well,
I mean, think about this. The Pope is creating confusion for us.
Mm-hmm.
That's how Cardinal-centric we are, that when we look at the conclave, again, is that the conclave or the gas house gang? I don't know. All day long, KMOX talks about the Cardinals, and it's either Kevin Wheeler or Fred Bottomer, the religion reporter.
Yep. You never know.
You never know.
What about this idea about changing the name? And this is from a text message. Mm-hmm. Changing the soccer team name to the Dogs because they're sponsored by Purina.
Yeah.
They would have
the Dog House. Energizer Park would be
yes.
the Dog House.
Oh my
or the
gosh.
Dog Park.
It could be the Dog Park.
It could be.
You're in the Dog Park.
But
the Dog Park is like a jovial, fun place. It doesn't feel intimidating.
I like it, though. Right. The doghouse is more intimidating, more negative connotations. But I like the dog park.
Welcome to the doghouse.
But I like welcome to the dog park.
I like that too. Wow. Hey,
wow.
Do you love things, Amy?
Yes, I do.
Tell us about what's coming up next.
Oh, with Kathy Winterwell, our guest.
She's here already.
She is.
She's been waiting for us for a long time.
The president of the Women of Achievement, the 2025 St. Louis Women of Achievement has been announced. The honorees are going to be recognized at a luncheon. next week, Tuesday, May 13th. Well, next week, honorees will be recognized at the 70th anniversary of the 2025 Women of Achievement Award Luncheon, or the 70th anniversary of the Women of Achievement Luncheon, I should say. And so joining us now is Kathy Winter. She's the president of Women of Achievement. She joins us in studio as, man, we were just talking about the 70th anniversary of Women of Achievement and the 22nd anniversary of our own Carol Daniel hosting it.
Correct.
Thank you so much for joining us, Kathy. Yes,
thank you. I'm very happy to be here. It's a pretty exciting time for our organization. We'll have celebrated over the 70 years, 700 women that we have recognized for their volunteerism in making our community better in so many different ways. And we've been supported all that time over the 70-year course. We started with the St. Louis Globe Democrat. And then the St. Louis Globe Democrat honored the women for about 30 years, a little more. And then when they got sold, Suburban Journal and KMOX took over. And when that changed over, we end back with, again, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, the Ladue News, KMOX, they are all been supporters of recognizing these women in our community.
What is the process of deciding who you're going to recognize each year? How long does that take, and how do you go about it?
Yeah, it's a couple of months. What happens is our partners, you all and Ladue News, we put out a notice to the community. So we take nominations from the community online, and then we take them as a committee. We have two different committees, which we've done since 1955. That part hasn't changed. So we have two different committees, and we narrow down the first group to 25 women, and then the second committee narrows it down to the final 10. And so that's how we go about it.
I know we'll talk about this year's nominees, mm-hmm. but who are some of the women who have won in the past and
wow.
what they've done?
Yeah, I mean, they've done a lot of things within the community, with helping women and children in need, and putting coats on our youth. They're changing neighborhoods. They're doing neighborhood development. They've gone into wherever there has been, they've identified a need, they've gone after it. I always say the power of one is amazing, because the ripple effect mm-hmm. goes throughout the community and helps so many people. So, you know, we end up doing a lot of things for our kids. We end up doing a lot of things for people who have been facing abuse, and we find safe havens and help and jobs and things like that. So a lot of our women have been doing that. You know, we have we run some similarities in terms of maybe what they're doing, but each takes a unique approach to maybe what they're making a difference in the community with.
Certainly in the 1950s, women did not get the recognition they deserved, whether it was professionally or what they did in the community. So something like this, hugely important, it still is. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like there's been enough progress made over the decades, now that women do get more recognition in the way that they should?
Well, yes. I think, you know, they've made impacts in the communities in which they live. I mean, we have one lady who's an honoree this year. She takes children out of foster care who are at risk, and they're providing home housing, group housing for them until they reach a certain age. And so she's been working in that arena. She is called the Hope Ranch, and it's out in Franklin County. But it just so happens this year also we have another honoree, and she was a foster child, and she does music therapy. And so she works with the foster children with music, and she tries to keep it continuing with them, even if they're having to change foster homes or whatever. So it's an impactful moment for these kids to be able to learn to play an instrument and sing and do a lot of the different music opportunities for them.
You talked about the power of the individual and looking at all of the honorees. It's so nice to be able to break down maybe a bigger concept, like you said, like, okay, well, we're putting coats on kids and we're helping children in foster homes, but you're breaking it down to the individual personal level. Mm-hmm. Say, well, this is the woman mm-hmm. who's doing this. These are the children she's mm-hmm. influencing and impacting, because it really is extraordinary what one person can do. I don't know. I have a problem of thinking from 30,000 feet too much. Like they're not real people, right? Yeah. Until you break it down like this.
You reach out, you know, they're able to put their hands around these kids. You know, they're able to come up and hug them. One of our honorees is Anna Warfield, and she does Nana's Closet, and she had just been driving around and she saw kids in the dead of winter without a coat, you know, and so she started a coat drive, mittens, socks, shoes, whatever. And it's blossomed. Now she's been doing that and she's done it for 3,000 kids. So, I mean, it was just one thing that she noticed that she did and it just went out there. And it ended up, interestingly, because Jennifer Hope has the ranch out in Franklin and some of her foster kids use Nana's Closet. So it ended up being kind of a opportunity for all of them. And it was really interesting that they all 10 this year have had some similarities in terms of what they were doing.
So the luncheon is coming up on Tuesday. How have you seen the organization, this event, change over the years?
You know, it hasn't changed all that much because our organization in 1993, we had 15 women who had the vision when things were being sold to incorporate us. And so since 1993, the membership has been running the show. And we've stayed close to our roots and to our culture that was established back in the 50s and 60s. So we usually have about 500 people at the luncheon, and the community can come if they want. They can just get online and get a ticket. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, families, friends, sponsors that all arrive so that we can celebrate these 10 women. And it's just amazing. And we do a video of them, so that's shown mm-hmm. at the luncheon as to what their work is.
And you mentioned buying tickets. So Women of Achievement, WOASTL.org.
Correct.
/event. So WOASTL.org/event to get tickets to the Women of Achievement Luncheon. It's at the Ritz-Carlton. It's been there for a while, right?
It has. It used to be at the Coruscant Room for many, many years. And then in very early on, it was... they had one of the original luncheons down at the Jefferson Hotel. And there was like 1,000 women that came to that luncheon at that time for those women down there. But, you know, for the past 20 plus years, we've had it at the Ritz. So, yes.
So I've got this book here. All right. This book is huge. It weighs a ton.
Yes.
It's since 1955, Women of Achievement, 1955 through 2025.
Yes.
Tell us about this. Can people buy this?
Yes. In fact, we're going to, the Hunter Family Foundation graciously gave us the money to print this book, which we took, Dudley Grove was one of the Women of Achievement back in 1986, I think is her class. And she did this with Mary Kimbrough, who was at the time with the Globe Democrat too. And so they did the first 50 years of it. And Blanche Tuhill managed to talk me into finishing it to 2025. So it is big and it is a lot, but
it is.
It has a lot of our photos.
There's a lot in here.
Mm-hmm. It's a coffee table book. Yeah. So you leave it out.
Yeah, so we will be handing that out at the luncheon.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you're just giving it out?
We're going to give it to our Women of Achievement.
And, oh, okay.
But it can be purchased too. So.
Oh, this is great.
Yeah.
I don't have a coffee table.
Bookshelf.
Bookshelf.
He doesn't have a coffee table.
I do not have a coffee table.
This guy.
It just occurred to me. I don't have a coffee table. But I've taken it anyway.
Kathy, how long have you been with Women of Achievement?
I've got my honor in 2016. So I was a Woman of Achievement in 2016. And I have been president the last 2 years, vice president 2 years before that. So I've been involved with the organization for going on about 6-7 years now.
Is it like a, does it feel kind of like a club?
You know what? We call it our sisterhood because what we're embracing is all of us who have worked in the community to make a difference. We're embracing all of the women that are coming now and have done this in the past. So we kind of refer it to as a sisterhood, but also it's becoming a network for our women because so many of our women now are still doing their volunteer work. So we're able to help them get connected to maybe resources that they might need or not have to, you know, rewrite a policy book or whatever. But we're able to bring bring our expertise to the table and help our newer honorees in the areas of which they're working in.
And I love this. And just the women, the honorees, and the work that's being done, it's primarily local, correct? Or is it
Saint
also
Louis
national?
Region.
So
yeah.
It is the St. Louis region.
We have honorees that have come from the Illinois side as well. As you know, pretty far out in Wentzville, Franklin County, that kind of thing. So St. Louis, southern Missouri.
I love that because it truly embodies loving your neighbor. Mm. And sometimes it can be harder to reach out, do your mission in your own neighborhood, right? I mean, I think there needs to be international work too, obviously, but sometimes you can hop on a plane, you do something for a week and you come back and you go about your life. But in your neighborhood, it's day after day. It's the people you're interacting with. And so truly loving your neighbor is a commitment.
And one of our honorees this year, she's been working with our Afghan refugees.
Oh,
so
wonderful.
She's been helping there. She saw a need and helping them with housing. She's been helping them with learning English, learning to drive a car, you know, so trying to bring these women into our culture in which to get them services that they need, that, you know, they're here, they're in our country. And so she saw a need and she felt that kind of level of kindness needed to happen. So, and then another one of honorees this year, she works with our vets. We've had a lot of them that came back from Afghanistan, et cetera. So she's been doing that with the USO here in St. Louis. And then she had, there's called Camp Hope, which I think is in southern Missouri. And our vets can go there for a resort-like and be able to just go out into the country. And if they want to go hunting or whatever, and if they have certain limitations, they help work through those and stuff like that. So she's taking care of our veterans, which is awesome.
The luncheon to honor these women is on Tuesday, so it's a little bit less than a week from now. You can buy tickets for it. The doors are going to open at 11:15, and this will be at the Ritz-Carlton. $60 a person to get into the luncheon.
Yep.
If you are interested, woastl.org/event. Or you can go ahead and call. If people feel more comfortable calling, they can do that. 314-896-4962. 896-4962. Kathy, it's great to have you in studio.
Thank you for coming by. Thanks for having us. And again, thank you guys for being longtime partners with us. Thank you.
Wonderful.
Kathy Winter is the president of Women of Achievement. Again, the luncheon happens on Tuesday in Clayton. It's Chris and Amy on KMOX.
The Chris and Amy Show on 104.1 FM KMOX and the free Odyssey app. Now, did you see this? With Chris and Amy.
Hey, Ranj, did you see this? I will say, if you are watching on our YouTube, you probably did see it. Lori says, yay, my mom is a woman of achievement, great organization, and great honor. Very cool. Thank you, Lori. Oh, also, just note this. Did you see Philip? He said, hey, guys, love the show. Listening from Nashville, Tennessee, baby.
Great job, Philip. You can listen from Nashville, Tennessee on YouTube, which means you're also watching Facebook, Twitter. Follow us at Chris Amy KMOX or the Odyssey app. Get that Odyssey app and put it on your phone. And Cardinals. Well, if you live in Tennessee, you cannot listen to Cardinals baseball.
You can't?
Yeah, because you're not in the listening area. You have to be in the listening area to get the free Cardinals games on the Odyssey app. That's just a Major League Baseball rule. It's not our fault.
Hey, Ranj, do you like to shop?
Yeah, why not?
Do you like to buy things?
Yeah, sure.
Bad news.
I can't buy things no mo?
Well, Canada is not for sale.
Oh, and I can't buy Canada?
You cannot buy Canada. In a, quote, mostly friendly meeting at the White House yesterday, newly elected Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney said that Canada will remain a sovereign country even after President Trump repeatedly stated his desire for it to become the 51st U.S. state. I would imagine it's mostly friendly meeting because Prime Minister Carney is prime minister solely because of Donald Trump.
Yeah, kind of.
Pierre Poilievre was a 99% chance of winning, and he was going to win. The conservative, who was, I think, by Canadian standards, he's actually a pretty moderate guy. Pierre Poilievre was supposed to win. And Donald Trump's rhetoric, rather antagonistic and mocking, to say the least, single-handedly changed the trajectory of that Canadian election. And so the Liberal Prime Minister, Mark Carney, did win. And it was a shock to most people. But here's, can I just say this about Canada? First of all, there's no way that talking or joking about buying Canada is positive in any way. It only hurts the relationship. Canada is a sovereign nation. They're proud of being Canadian.
Yeah.
We would be offended if someone
joked about
buying us. So they are rightly offended by Trump's rhetoric. And here's the thing. Let's say Canada did become the 51st state with electoral votes. We would never have a Republican anything again because the more liberal political ideologies would own the United States because you'd absorb all those electoral votes in Canada, which is a big blue state, basically, with their electoral votes. We'd have probably more socialized health care. Also, Canadians themselves, their individual wealth would go up. So there's no point in Donald Trump joking about it other than he's being a bully and trying to offend an ally. It makes no sense.
I did think it was.
And he also lost an election. We could have had a more conservative prime minister. Maybe Republicans might have wanted that, a more conservative leader of your of an allied country. But instead, ew.
Well, I appreciate the president for this.
Yeah, you
good
should
thing.
Be glad.
Good thing we don't have the silly conservatives up there running
Pierre
the show
Poilievre.
In Canada. I did think it was really funny, Carney, in that Oval Office meeting where Trump's talking about whatever he's talking about. And Carney says, well, you know, as you know, from real estate, not everything is for sale. And Trump said, yep, you're true. That's true. I forgot where I was going to go.
We do have a message on our YouTube stream. TW says, if we bought Canada, we'd have to heat it. That's true.
Well, we don't have to heat the whole place. Who left the door open to Canada?
The border? Whatever. It's just...
We're not trying to heat the entire country. That's really very quite funny.
We have to heat the... It is cold up there. It's chilly. It's nipply.
I'm going to tell you something. I would absolutely... I think I love that climate. I think I would like it.
I would 100% trade... Right now, if you said, would you trade Florida for Alberta? I'd do it in a heartbeat. The Alberta province because...
Oh, yeah.
Because of the Canadian Rockies, you'd get Banff. Ugh! The Kananaskis Mountains. Have you been there? It's gorgeous!
You could probably own that bear that almost attacked you in Banff.
I know! That's how much I love Canada. Even though the Canadian grizzly tried to kill me,
it did.
I still love it. I'm also not a big beach person.
Like regular beaches?
Like Florida beaches. Yeah.
They don't do it for me either.
I like beaches for a little bit. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I like them for a little bit. We would lose a lot of money with Disney World, wouldn't we? Probably.
What do you mean?
That's good economy. An economic boon to have Disney World in a state.
Say if we got rid of Florida?
We got rid of Florida.
And took Canada instead?
Alberta.
Just Alberta?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I don't know.
I'd have to go. I didn't go through the numbers yet. I'm just going on vibes.
We have a lot of retirees down there. Did you know that we have baseball coming up today?
Yeah.
12:15, we're going to have the first pitch. And it will be the finale of the series, Cardinals and Pirates. It is coming up today. We got the pregame show at 11:20. We will take you up until that. And we are very excited as the Cardinals try to sweep this series coming up here. Matt Pauly has the pregame show at 11. It's not Tom Ackerman. Tom usually sticks around during the day. Yeah.
That might be a leftover mistake.
It could be a misprint.
It could be a misprint.
Oh,
who's in charge of that? Who's in charge of that?
The printing company
of telling us who's
yes, of making this, writing down who's on it.
Who do you think? It's Matt Pajeski.
That's what I thought. He said the printing company.
I don't get no respect from anyone.
Well, stop screwing up. Anyway, that's happening today. We have like another hour and 20 minutes to go of this show. John Rooney is going to join us at 10:30. Before we get to that, however, the Foundry, you know, the City Foundry here in St. Louis, part of Midtown, right by the SLU campus, it continues to expand. We're going to talk to Will Smith, not that one. He's the president of New and Found, St. Louis-based real estate development and investment firm, and we're going to talk about all of the people who have been going to the Foundry and what the plans are for expansion. We'll talk about that next with Will Smith here on KMOX.